Oh, so we're kind of all here, aren't we?
Yeah.
What's that way?
Rarely, but that never stops us.
Well, no, there's a difference between us all being here and not being quite all there.
Not by much.
Now yes, well, and Mitch will say all right all there.
It is a bit of a shorter trip when Mickey's not with us. You've got big shoes to fill this week, Ken.
Oh, goody.
Yes. Big, pretty shoes. That is totally going in the show somewhere.
Superhero Time with your hosts, XV.
I enjoy the misfortune of others.
Hey, Mickey.
Yes, I'm cleaning the stains off my couch.
Paladin.
Where's that tuna?
And Fort Max.
Obviously on X-Men.
Welcome to Superhero Time, the best tokusatsu podcast on the TF Radio Network. I hosted your mom, and I'm XV. With me this week is the usual cast. He'll mount your drive twice, Paladin.
Yo.
20, go to 10, it's Fort Max.
Hello.
Hey, Mickey is out this week on maternity leave, but filling in for him is our special guest host, Ken, who I won't say bad things about because I want him to come back again later.
Yo, what's up?
Promises, promises.
So, I think the biggest bit of news actually came out today on Monday, which is that we seem to have the name for the next Masked Rider revealed. A trademark has reportedly been filed for Kamen Rider Fose. Fose.
Fose.
Fose.
The name is supposed to be styled as the number 40, obviously for the 40th anniversary of the series. I wonder, though, does that mean if it'll be like another decade, but spanning maybe the entire history of the franchise and hopefully not being a 31-episode train wreck? Who knows?
Not being another decade.
But
a little early for that, though, isn't it?
Well, I don't
know.
You
gotta celebrate the milestones when they get them.
Yeah.
Now, they also seem to... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, since only the name is confirmed so far, anything else is speculation, probably including that production crew list that also surfaced with this.
And Decade may have been a train wreck in terms of storytelling, but I'm pretty sure it was fairly successful in terms of merchandising, so they might want to try something like that again.
Well, I think it had one of the most popular driver toys.
Now, aside from the Double Driver and the O's Driver, which has outsold every other Rider toy.
The
now,
thing is,
so...
with the Double Driver and the O's Driver, their popularity is sort of artificially enhanced by crippling the supply of them.
Well, to an extent, yeah, but they still keep selling.
And selling and selling and selling.
Yep. Well, I mean, it's Rider merchandise. It's the most wanted toy in Japan almost any year.
Though I'm wondering if the name actually is Fose, if they're going to kind of keep that up, because you have Double, and then you have O's, spelled out with three O's, and then you have Fose is the fifth, next one going to be after a five of some sort?
No, they already did that.
Five.
They did. Damn. That kind of breaks that up.
I'm sure they could find some other way to do a five if they wanted to.
Oh, certainly.
They could do Fize the second or some shit like that.
Fize times two.
Yes.
Or five Ten? Plus Fize plus one. Or would that be for the year after?
Ugh, numbers, math. We established last week I wasn't good with math.
Did we?
Of course not, you're Southern.
Were you here last week?
Yes, I was.
Jim Curry.
The classics never die.
Only your mom does.
Yeah. See, I'm waiting for, you know, like, art or production still of the Fose suit to show up, because I'm very curious if it will have, like, a big four on it somewhere, or, like, four X's. You know, something stupid looking like that.
It might.
I mean, remember Kamen Rider G.
Not many people do.
Yeah, I know, it's sad. It's very sad, because it was hilarious.
It really was.
He needs a figure art.
Yeah.
Sadly,
not going to happen.
Think, yeah, because G's owned by, or partly owned
by someone else.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, whoever
also
made
has the suit.
whoever made the variety show that it appeared on.
And probably also has the Leopardon costume stashed in their closet.
Yeah, that thing's got to be somewhere still. I mean, you don't go to all the trouble to steal a suit off a set 40 years ago and, you know, not keep it.
You'd hope, anyway.
I'm sure it's a good conversation piece for parties and shit.
This is Spider-Man's giant robot. His what?
Well, that probably makes a lot more sense in Japan.
Maybe.
I doubt it.
I saw...
What?
No, I had never actually seen the Japanese Spider-Man, but I saw a clip the other day of a fan dub in which he was fighting a monster which was modeled after the Thang.
The Thang?
The Thang.
The Thang.
Thang. Ugh, I hate my accent.
I love your accent.
Well, actually, Marvel has the entire series subbed on their site.
Oh, I know. I'm just lazy.
It's worth seeing at least one episode of.
I've seen at least one episode of it.
Preferably one after episode 11, because that's when they lost the Leopardon suit.
And had to resort to stock footage.
Yes.
Really? I did not realize that.
Of course. Stock footage saves everything.
Right.
Tim Curry.
So they lost the suit, and they couldn't make another one.
They were already over a budget on effects.
That's yeah, really.
They ran out on the. They went over the effects budget at episode 8.
Wow, that's impressive.
Shoestring.
That's worse than RPM.
Just like us.
There's a shoestring.
We have shoes.
What do you think I'm going to hang myself with later?
Probably twist ties from toy packaging.
Yeah, except, you know, since they replaced the twist ties with those twisted paper ties, they just don't hold any weight anymore.
They really don't.
Wow.
Well, unless you get Takara packaging. Oh my god, Takara packaging.
Yeah, those still have the plastic.
They come with 5 million of them, also.
Yeah, it's not like Bandai where you get, you know, a plastic tray snapped down on top of another plastic tray.
Yeah, even just the mobile rights, it came in a cardboard tray and with just some plastic over it, and that was it.
That's how the Megazords come, too.
That's how Gundams always came, also.
Yeah.
I miss my Gundams. I spent a lot of money on Gundams.
So did I, damn it.
You did?
I tried building the kits for a while.
Oh, no, I'm talking like the mobile suits in action.
Yeah, that.
But those are good. Those are good. The robot Damashii, not so much.
Yeah, I tried to get into the robot Damashii a bit, and...
What did you get, Ken?
Some of the 00 stuff.
Like which ones in particular?
I got them when they were on sale at HLJ. The Dynamis, the Arios, and... what was it called? The one that Soma piloted.
The
one with Arios. Yeah, the Gun Archer. I got those three, and they're okay. And I also picked up a Exia at my local comic shop, who promptly, within a day, started having parts break on him.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm glad that my comic shop owner actually discounted him for me when I first went in, because otherwise I'd be going back like, dude. But he could never sell it because nobody wanted to spend any. Nobody really wanted it, so I can see why now.
You go in there and be all, dude, there's a problem with my thang. Yeah, Peldon's right. I'm not doing a very good job at not saying mean things about you.
Yes.
Now, trust me, I've heard worse, so you're good.
Okay, we'll have to try harder.
I was going to say, you know that just provokes us, right?
Yeah.
Don't say we didn't warn you. What?
I did pick up one from the series called HCM Pro. It's tiny, but I think it's enjoyable.
I've got an HCM Pro also, and I found the joints to wear out rather quickly. No poly caps, so, you know, it wears down.
Probably not for everyone, then.
Maybe not. Also, they were like the same price as Mobile Suits in Action at the same time Mobile Suits in Action were around, so the didn't seem like such a good deal, usually.
Around how much was that?
Around $20. Well, import figures, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, for import figures, that's not too bad.
No, the prices were good. You know, the robot Damashis are like twice as expensive as the MSIA was.
And twice as fragile, apparently.
It would seem so, yes. Well, let's put it this way. I have, you know, probably hundreds of Gundam figures, and I promptly lost interest after, like, 5 Robot Damashi.
Damn.
Yeah.
Hey, 5 Robot Damashis would be about what I have, because I also do have the 007 swords that I got cheap, but, again, it's just too many fiddly tiny bits that don't want to stay on.
Yeah, pretty much. Parts just fall off everywhere.
Yeah, it's... Especially on the 00 and the Dynamis, because the Dynamis has like 500 little parts.
Damn shield bits.
Yeah, and they never stay on, ever.
Mine will generally stay on, but not if I touch it.
Yeah, basically, that's it. They'll stay on so long as you never touch it, ever.
Well, now there's
some... That's what she said.
Yeah. There's some instances where they will remove themselves from the frame.
Yeah.
As you can tell by listening to this whole Gundam thing, we don't really have a lot to talk about this week. Well, yes, normally this would be where we are going completely off subject, but we don't have much of a subject to stay on this time, because the past week in Japan has been the Golden Week holiday, so there's been no merchandise news.
In Japan, Golden Week means several days of free holidays, but in this country it means giving somebody's mother an extra nickel.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a nice breather for your wallets, since it's a few days without any new stuff being announced.
No, I still have to save up for the stuff that's still coming.
Yes, but now you don't know about the other stuff that's coming yet.
That is going to sell out immediately anyway, so...
Yeah.
That you can't buy.
Amazon pre-order somewhere, I think. And, was it Kaiksa? Kaiksa? How do you spell that from Fize?
Ha ha ha, Kaiksa.
I don't know. I haven't seen Fize.
It's Kaiza.
Kaiza. How am I supposed to tell?
You just do.
But yeah, I haven't seen the pre-order on AmiAmi or anywhere yet, but for some reason it popped up on Big Bad Toy Store for both Amazon and for Kaiza.
Maybe they're just getting a head start.
Granted, this is Big Bad Toy Store is the same place that put up a pre-order for the new Mold Masterpiece Prime, despite the fact that no one knows anything about it yet.
Well, this is true, except...
And they'll get it like 4 months after all the other retailers anyway.
Except Amazon and Kaiza actually do have, you know, official pictures and everything.
Well, at least we know the new smaller Masterpiece Prime exists.
Well, true.
But it's probably more expensive than the old Prime.
Well, has more stuff.
Also, if anybody is looking for a Gokai Red... Big Bad Toy Store put that up also. It's just $50.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, that's all.
More than ever, I'm thankful I got an order in at Hobby Link Japan.
No kidding.
Lucky.
I don't know if it's lucky so much as just sitting there compulsively refreshing the page until the pre-order is active.
So the Maddie Collector approach?
Well, I mean, you kind of have to go that way with it, don't you?
Though, that said, the $50 for Gokai Red is better than the $60 they have for Super Robot Shogokin Gal Gaigar. So, yeah, I'm glad I got that one at AmiAmi.
I wonder if the SRC Gokaiyo will end up clearancing at AmiAmi like Shinkan-O did.
Maybe after the series ends, but I can't see that happening anytime soon.
I mean, if Gokaiyo went down to 1,600 yen, I would almost consider getting it.
Yeah, well, the thing about Gokaiyo, though, is that the series is 2 years old at this point, so...
You mean Shinkan-O.
Shinkan-O. And that stuff tends to roll over pretty quickly over in Japan, so...
Yeah.
Especially with Sentai, where there's a new one every single year.
Mm-hmm. And especially considering how there's still massively unsold boxes of Shinkenger Zord sitting around everywhere.
Poor Mogi
yes,
Dio.
Also that.
Poor Oxcart Megazord.
I can't wait to see how Samurai handles that one.
I'm gonna say it'll be hilarious when they.
What?
What?
Yeah, how will they handle that with the toys?
Nothing's been announced.
Yeah, that's probably how they'll handle it with the toys.
Yeah. Of course, the one they have to handle before that is Daigoyo.
Oh, yes.
Wait, which one's that?
The lantern.
That will fit so well with the fisherman.
Well, what? You need light when you're fishing at night.
He'll change it from an oriental paper lantern to an actual electric lantern now.
And if they did that, that would be kind of hilarious considering there was an MMPR episode in season 3 all about paper lanterns.
Yes.
Well, this is Saban. Consistency doesn't really happen.
Very true.
Yeah. But yeah, it'll be hilarious if Mogu Daio actually becomes the Oxcart Megazord officially.
Why not? At this point, why not?
At this point, that would almost be par for the course.
At this point, that would actually be entertaining.
Yeah, that's why I'm waiting for it. Yes, I do regret that we have an Octozord instead of a Calamari Zord. But what are you going to do?
Hmm.
Besides have a tantrum on Twitter. But, you know, these things happen.
Yeah.
Okay, so, anybody who isn't Fort Max have any, like, toys or anything to talk about to fill space before we jump into the week's shows?
Nah, I haven't gotten anything. Mainly because I'm saving up for BotCon.
Anything?
Anything.
Yeah. How about you, Paladin?
I think the newest thing I've gotten was D-Art's X.
Ooh.
He's about the same size as a figure art, maybe a little bit shorter.
Fitting.
That's what she said.
Fairly posable, and I like the accessories he comes with.
You know what I don't like? All these ants that are turning up in here today.
You said they were on your ceiling?
Yes, well, they seem to have grown dissatisfied with the meal opportunities on the ceiling. And have instead come to check out the desk.
Oh, that's always the best.
Yeah, that's a little bit more inconvenient.
Are they going after any Cheerwine yet?
I don't have any Cheerwine in here today. Actually, I don't even have any Cheerwine this week.
At least they're not the red ones, right?
Right. Sad XV. No Cheerwine. So anyway, X.
Comes with some effect parts and some emotion faces.
So
kind of like Armor Plus Rayo.
So he's emo?
Yeah, in some of the games.
Some of the games.
Some of the games?
I think X is emo in almost all of the games.
Oh. I never played the X series.
It's good up until 4 or 5.
The only Mega Man games I really enjoy are Battle Network.
X8 was a step in the right direction, then they just, you know, kill the entire series, so.
Oops.
Yeah.
Except for Command Mission, and I actually really like that one.
Well, X8 and Command Mission came out at about the same time.
Okay, maybe this was a bad idea for things to talk about, because I have no idea what you're talking about anymore. I feel like Kilby now.
Command Mission was good.
I'm not even sure which Kilby I feel like, that's the weird thing.
I'm not even sure which one matters.
Huh?
Exactly.
Oh. So, X is a little short to be a stormtrooper, and he's emo.
Pretty much.
And he has laser parts.
Well, we all wish we had laser parts.
Exactly.
So, what's the deal with that tube thing I've seen pictures of?
It was... Was it for just the display, or... Because it had... I think I remember it... At first it had armor parts in it, and then when they took pictures of it later, it didn't.
So what they're implying is there'll be a repaint or remold or re-release of the character with his more iconic armor now.
Tamashii Web exclusive.
Go Bandai. Go Bandai. Milk those collectors.
Like they are with Zero.
What are they doing with Zero?
Zero, they are basically remolding the X body using it and doing the first game version of Zero where he doesn't have a sword and has a... So the Zero that everybody wants is not being released yet.
That sounds about right.
It really does.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect any less, or would that be any more?
Yes.
They're doing the same thing with Beelzebub from Digimon Tamers for the D-Arts line, where the first one is just the regular Beelzebub. Doesn't come with the wings, doesn't come with the big cannon.
motorcycle?
Will probably be separate.
Oh.
Yeah, somewhere there'll be the bike at some point. Probably thanks to Tamashii.
Yeah, well, all the rider bikes are sold separately, so I kind of expect the same for his.
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, in the meantime, you can put him on the hard boilder.
Or Retgar.
Or the skull boilder. That would probably be appropriate.
Or maybe even the ride vendor.
Although they only have the vending machine one out now, and that's just that's a web exclusive.
No, there's also the transforming one, if that counts.
Oh, yeah.
Probably about the right size.
That might fit.
Well, it's made mostly for the Combo Change series, and those are almost the size as Figuarts.
Well, and the Combo Change series figures look a little bit small on it anyway, from the pictures I've seen.
Oh, that's right. I have seen some O's Figuarts on that bike, and it actually does look pretty good.
Mm-hmm. But see, now what I want to have is, I want to get the transforming vending machine and put Retgar on it. Because, I mean, that should work, right?
Sure,
yeah, that'd
not?
Be perfect.
I mean, it's all relative. Or something, I don't know. Whatever. So, anything else to talk about?
Not at the moment, I think.
Oh, well, okay then. I guess we'll just go Samurai.
Samurai Forever!
Rangers together?
I should probably mark that down so I can put the sound clip in. Okay, so let's see. This week was something. It was something, anyway. I don't know.
It was a thing.
So we get the backstory.
It was a samurai thing.
We get the backstory of Antonio. Good thing he and Jaden managed to drop those thick New Zealand accents when they grew up. Wait, what?
Yeah. God, those kids.
It's especially funny since Antonio is apparently supposed to be, like, you know, Mexican or something.
Which they really kind of try to drill into the ground here.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was possible to see worse actors than the rest of the samurai cast.
Well, child actors, you know.
I stand by my point.
So anyway, Antonio is desperate to join the team because he has an unpleasant personality and likely smells of fish and can't make friends otherwise.
What kind of got me about that is, okay, in Shinkenger, Takeru was an asshole from beginning up until basically Genta came in. He only started to not be as much of an asshole after Genta came. The thing is, Jaden doesn't come across the same way. So when he's like all laughing and happy about seeing him, and then he's like, nah, you can't hang with us. It makes him kind of seem even worse than Takeru.
Kind of.
Right.
And then G steals his morpher and Uncle fills him out of the mansion. But coincidentally, that's just in time for a really strong, fast monster with lots of sharp edges to come calling.
I want to see Uncle Phil as a Ranger Minotaur.
He would make this series so much better.
Yes, but one of the Rangers would have to be named Will.
Sure, why not?
And now what I want to do is find a clip of Uncle Phil and insert that right there.
Will!
Ooh, he could be the fat guy and Ghost Ager.
The professor?
Yes!
Well, it would undoubtedly make that series better.
It totally would.
Wow. But and then they'd have to get Carlton to be Nozomu.
He's about the size for it.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's doing anything right now, right?
Wasn't he on Dancing with the Stars last?
Exactly.
You know, things like that make me think they should do, like, Celebrity Survivor.
Isn't that what Dancing with the Stars is?
Well, I'm just thinking, though, you know, if something goes wrong on the island or wherever they stick them and somebody dies, who's going to notice? So, yes, lots of sharp edges flying around. However, would the Rangers beat something like that?
And in the meantime, there's a dream sequence with Spike.
Spike and his bright pink pillow. That's not suggestive at all, is it?
Of course not.
And then Bulk further fulfills his only purpose in this series and to get stuff splashed on him.
What do you mean, this series? That's his purpose in life.
Well, true. He was better in space.
He was barely in space.
Yes, but that was still better than this.
Well, I suppose what with that last episode.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, in the end, Antonio gets his morpher back, cuts a bitch, and cooks fish.
Woo.
And switching from sushi to a barbecue grill really is the appropriate Americanization, I guess.
The thing I want to know, though, is if his grilled fish is bland like Genta's sushi.
Probably. It certainly looks like it.
Well, considering who's... Well, considering reminded of her cooking...
Mia actually did something fairly useful in this episode by just taking exactly what Mako did in the original. But hey, at least they didn't ignore it this time, like the entire episode that focused on her.
Right.
Because of course we can't focus on the female characters.
No, who cares about them? Who cares?
Obviously not Japan.
Well, more like obviously not Saban.
Now, how much is Saban actually involved in it?
Well, they plaster his name all over the credits, so who knows?
There could be a Bandai factor in there, too.
From what I've seen, Saban wasn't involved much in this series ever.
No, they really weren't, but they really are kind of playing it up. When I say Saban, I mean more just the company itself.
Well, it's a good contrast to, you know, Disney, even if it may not be 100% accurate to call it Saban.
Yeah. It's certainly handled differently than the Disney series, which are hit or miss, but...
Well, largely with being promoted and...
and on when you can watch it.
Or on at all, as they never were in Georgia.
Fort Max, if I hear you mention 5 a.m. one more time... But yeah, that's Power Rangers Samurai, and I don't really think it's getting any better yet, is it?
No, which is not a good sign when they get the Sixth Ranger and it's still just bland whitewash.
Maybe it'll be better next time.
Keep saying that.
See also Go Sager.
Oh, I want to see how they're going to handle next week's episode, because that is the episode where in the original Shitari was sacrificing a bunch of schoolgirls with an axe.
Yeah, that might be a little bit of a problem.
Just a slight bit.
Maybe they can paint over the axe and make it a radio or something.
I don't think they have Steven Spielberg on this series.
Well, then they'll just do it more badly.
Just have them take some of Xandrid's medicine.
I was actually kind of impressed with the CGI on the American Octozord, the little one.
Well, I'm sure they inherited all of the computer models for the Zords, you know, because the other ones that they show running around from time to time look just like the Japanese ones, too.
That's true. But it looked not as bad as I would have expected, is what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, they managed it pretty well, but if you're not Japan, CGI is not that hard anymore.
It's really not. Japan still has an issue.
Well, yeah, you also have to kind of give a shit.
Yeah, I mean... Maybe Japan just costs more for CGI or something. Like they do for DVDs.
Everything costs more in Japan.
Not your mother.
Especially with the exchange rate how it is now.
But she's not really so much in Japan as on Japan.
What would that be in yen?
Well, at this point, that would be like, what, 3 yen?
3.5.
So I guess your mom's even more of a whore in Japan.
She uses the whore metal.
Yeah. Well, the whore metal is a nickel. Except bigger. Yeah. Whatever. Pirates?
Pirates.
Yo
ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action!
Let's see. So, this week, we pick up where we left off last time, and Joe has run off to win Barizog's heart. Or something.
No, I think that's about right.
Silly Joe, cyborgs don't have hearts.
Yeah, I'm calling it now. Barizog is either going to become Gokai 6 or die horribly and tragically.
Gokai 6? Not that I don't like the way that sounds, I just, you know. 6?
Silver, whatever.
No, I mean, Gokai 6 kind of works since his power is the Sixth Ranger.
Well, yeah, that actually would have been pretty cool, but yeah. Sadly not. I'm betting on dying horribly and tragically myself.
Or dying heroically.
Dying heroically, horribly and tragically at the same time.
I'm betting on Fort Max dying horribly and tragically.
Why is
not
that?
Horribly?
I was going to say, you would call that horrible or tragic?
Your death can be horrible.
Why? Because you have to work to find a replacement?
No, we got like 2 or 3 people lined up already.
Oh, that's true.
And suddenly the truth comes out. So anyway, Marvelous has recovered enough to demand a buffet be prepared for him. And in between bites, he tells the story of how he and Joe first met. And surely, surely inspires scary fangirls to write Slash.
Regardless, it was awesome.
Well, yeah. But still,
but
it's just
but
subtext.
Yeah, apparently, the Greg, whatever they're called,
Gorman?
Have been blowing up his story for a while.
Huh?
Huh?
Well, apparently that Empire has been blowing up his curry for a while.
Zangek?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they've been getting around.
Much like your mom.
Right. Your mom ruins everything she touches, too. What I'm curious about, though, is why they were having human soldiers at all.
They only had 2.
That we saw.
Yes, but that's all we've seen so far, also.
Well, come on. Someone has to prep card games for the dump troops.
This is true.
Yeah.
Or actually, it looks like they're even lower in rank than the dump troops.
Which is kind of sad.
That's very sad. I mean, it's kind of hard being lower in rank than the mass production bucket-headed guys.
That get transported around on giant magnets.
Yeah, so what do the human soldiers get transported around on?
Oh my...
meat hooks?
The swinging sword that Momotaro's used on Kuga?
Ooh.
Well, it's almost the same thing.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah. Best final attack ride ever. If not wince-inducing.
Yeah.
Very.
So around this time, Commander Nepotism is whining on the flagship how much his wound hurts and orders retribution.
I can't wait till Marvelous kills his ass.
or at least punches him in the face.
That'll probably kill him.
Yeah, probably.
No,
based on how he reacted to that.
No, it won't. He'll probably just end up crying and running off into something. Or
no, Commander Nepotism won't die. He'll just get beat up and run back to his father.
Or, no, not really beat up, just, like, hit once and run back.
You know, from his perspective, that would be beat up.
Yeah. You know what I would actually like? Is, you know how he was whining last week about how my father never ever struck me? It'd be funny if, like, his father came in and just killed him.
Or at least smacked him around a little bit for being such a major screw-up.
Yes.
Which they need to do badly.
Yeah.
And then, like, promote Damaras or something.
Well, see, I mean, this can all kind of work together. Marvelous can punch him in the face and send him crying back to his father, who could belt him across his own ship, and then take over while Commander Nepotism is the whiny subordinate. That sounds like a pretty good setup for the second half of the series.
It really does, actually.
Which also would probably require Borotog out of the way.
When he will die horribly.
Which probably has to happen before Gokai Silver can show up, or Gokai 6.
I don't know. Gokai Silver will be in within the next couple months.
In June or so.
Yeah, I don't think Barry Zorg's going to die that quickly.
But, you know, Commander Nepotism's wearing what looks like Silver's shield right now.
Or at least similar to it.
His chest armor definitely looks like the screenshots we've seen of Gokai Silver's upgrade.
Yeah, that just seems like too much of a coincidence to be a coincidence.
Especially in this show.
Yes. Yeah.
My bet's wrong that Gokai Silver just takes the thing from him.
Without a fight.
Well, all he's got to do is, like, kick him in the shin. Or pants him. That would work, right?
Yeah, for him, that's a valid strategy.
Yeah. So the invasion starts, and we get lots of Gokai change.
12 of them.
Yeah, that's quite a lot.
And coincidentally, it is episode 12.
How about that?
It's
almost like they knew.
I'll attribute that one to coincidence myself.
Yeah.
But even with all those 12 Gokai changes, it's not really going well for the Gokaijers. Because, you know, bodyguard's still really strong and they're down a man.
But what I really kind of liked when they still just got up and, you know, Luke is calling them stupid, Marvelous had this look in his eye that looked like it looked very, very crazy, which I liked.
Well, it is Marvelous.
Exactly.
He's like, marvelously crazy.
Yeah.
I also like how his jacket still had a tear in the back from where he got cut.
Continuity.
You'd think they would have patched that beforehand.
Yeah, they could put one of those sword healing bandages over it.
Continuity and Toei are not always the things that belong in the same sentence, though.
Either that or they only have one of those jackets and they didn't have time to mend it between scenes.
It'd be funny if it was like that for a few episodes, actually.
Or the rest of the series.
So which of the Gokaigers would mend the jacket anyway? Doc?
Yeah. He is the Gokaiger's, housewife.
Itch.
Same thing. And now we've alienated housewife audience.
I think Nobby's their bitch.
Huh? And who?
Oh, that's who.
The bird.
Oh, Navi.
I think Navi ranks above Dawn, actually.
That's entirely possible.
And Dawn really got his ass kicked more than anybody else when they were out of costume.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, well, I'm the other one that is not always quite as proficient, but has been pretty good lately. Actually did significantly better, so yeah.
Meanwhile, Doc just used the Go Ranger boomerang to smack one of the dump troops in the crotch.
Yeah, I think that pretty much evens everything out.
It really does.
I gotta say, I really love the fight direction on this show.
It is exceptionally well done.
Especially considering how much they have to change styles between every Gokai change.
Well, yeah, I was impressed in the Deca Ranger episode when they did Die Ranger suits and got all the fighting styles right.
Especially the Drunken Fist.
Yeah.
Broom.
The choreographers are definitely working the stunt people really well on this.
Much better than last year.
But, you know, everything about Gokai is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I should just stop saying that.
Well, it's not a bad thing to remember what we came off of to get to this.
Yeah, I remember when
would prefer not to.
I remember I didn't watch most of Ghost Sager. I started watching towards the final episodes, and I watched an episode that was just entirely one end of the field, the ghost just standing at the other end of the field, and them throwing attacks back at each other. And yeah, that was not fun.
Just summed up the entire series.
I'm glad I didn't watch more then.
Yeah, you really should be. Paladin watched all of it.
I watched the beginning and I watched the end. That's all I needed.
It's kind of like Voyager, where nothing really important happens between those points.
Well, except for the salamanders, but...
That's close enough to the start that it can still be considered the beginning. But yes, salamanders. Maybe Ghost Sager would have been better if it had salamanders. Or, you know, the Doctor. Gosei Knight totally could have been the Doctor if he would have just kept on killing people.
Damn the censors.
Okay, so eventually Joe realizes what he should be doing instead of sulking about his old friend and takes a scenic route to join the others. On the way, he's stopped by Kaoru, who concedes defeat and offers Joe a special hidden disc.
And he just looks at it like, what the f*** is this?
Speaking of continuity, I was surprised to see that.
Yeah, because everything in Shinkanger works with hidden discs.
Yeah, but it's just, particularly, they gave them the one that Tanba gave them at the end of the series. So it was a nice little touch, I thought.
It helped.
So, all together again, the Gokaijers change into the Shinkanjers and overwhelm the bodyguard with their samurai-flavored burning justice. I wonder what samurai flavor tastes like.
I think it's a little bland.
Well, no, that's just the samurai sushi, not the burning justice.
And the Shinkenger change loses its impact because they did that in the first f***ing episode.
Yes, but they did it a lot better this time.
Yes. I do have one question, though. Last week in the preview, didn't they show everybody individual weapons, not just a Rekadaisanto?
I don't remember.
I could have sworn they did.
Oh, and I did love the fact that they mixed in the Shinkenger theme song with the fight scene this time.
Well, yeah, well, that's the focus episode.
Yeah. They've only missed that once, and they didn't really seem to be trying with the Geki Ranger episode as much.
Just thought it worked really well here, but maybe that's because I love the Shinkenger theme.
Well, it did.
It is a good song. Good song. We need to do another The Musical at some point soon here.
I'm not sure.
So, the week's giant battle ends with Shinken Gokaio, which is pretty awesome looking.
And has a giant fire smasher.
Somehow it is severely overcompensating for something.
Shinken Gokaio actually kind of looks better than the real Shinken-O.
What's funny about the Rekadaisanto there is that the toy one is really kind of stubby and tiny.
Oh.
That's what she said.
I knew that was coming.
Said again.
But regardless, the one that comes with the toy is really, you know, just... So I wasn't really expecting much. And then it grows to twice the size of the actual mecha.
It looks like it's... You have... On the scale of it, it looks like they gave the roleplay weapon.
Pretty much, yes.
Well, that could work with some rubber bands.
Though I guess you couldn't really fit that into Galion.
Well, depends where you try to put it. But yeah, the whole process of using Galion for the Shinkenger upgrade actually worked better than I figured it would.
It really kind of did.
I was kind of worried about how they would end up, you know, making that happen in the series. But then it just kind of did and it worked.
Yeah, they didn't really comment on it.
Huh? I still think the most impressive combination is Deka Gokaio, but yeah, this new one's nice.
Deka Gokaio just benefits from not really changing the physical appearance of Gokaio.
This upgrade's more kind of like just the, like a, I think we'll be seeing it a lot more than the others because it's like Tenku Shinkano. It's the quarter series upgrade, so.
Which makes sense because it's basically a suit of armor for the Gokaio.
Basically.
Which is also fitting with the samurai theme.
Indeed.
Though so, I love the end of the combination sequence where it has essentially uses the same cliff from Shinkenger just with the giant pirate flag.
Oh, yes.
Very nicely done.
And also puts the helmet on in the exact same way.
Yeah.
You can tell which past Sentai series that's recent they actually like.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Gosager later.
I'm
giving that a fucking movie.
Yeah, but
it'll probably still end up in the series too.
Yeah, but they don't have a Gosager upgrade in the movie. They have a Go Ranger upgrade in the movie. So Gosager does not even get an upgrade in their own movie.
Good. Okay, so who wants to talk about O's?
Sure.
By which I mean, who wants to recap O's?
The most recent episode's a little bit schizophrenic.
Much like the guy it focuses on.
It's like they're tossing out even more plot points, but not doing anything with them yet.
Yeah, that sounds about right for this point in the series.
And yeah, not picking up yet on any of the other plot points they had.
Well, the first episodes of the new arcs are usually just set up anyway.
But the best thing in this episode was Pudotera basically handing Kazali his ass.
Yeah. By way of Goto.
Yeah.
which slightly makes up for something that happens later in the episode.
When Goto kind of wimps out.
And also it makes the episode title make even more sense.
What is the episode title?
Well, the third part of it's the Left Behind Driver.
Oh.
Oh, well, yeah. But they kind of telegraphed that in the preview anyway.
if by telegraph you mean completely gave away.
Well, yeah.
Well, by telegraphing that Goto had the driver, but not the fact that he didn't do anything with it.
Ah, yes.
Well, if he was going to transform into Birth in this episode, they would have showed that in the preview last time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They don't like suspense.
Just like with the purple eyes thing a couple weeks ago.
I don't think they like Goto that much either.
I guess Goto is the Fort Max of O's.
It seemed that way.
If Mickey was here, he would have laughed so much at that.
You can dub that in.
I'm laughing. I'm just trying not to laugh through the entire podcast.
Why not? I do.
Well, this is true.
I'm kind of insane.
Kind of. You do host this show.
Yeah. Allegedly.
But
what?
More towards the beginning of the episode, AG's friend is a little creepy.
A little?
Why just a little?
Like the guy that would end up on the 11 o'clock news creepy.
Well, we haven't come to the end of the story yet, so, I mean, don't rule it out.
This is very true. And on this show, it's entirely possible.
Yes.
Does anyone else get the vibe that Chris Hansen once told that guy to have a seat somewhere?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if we can come up with a nickname for him that goes with To Catch a Predator.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I can't really think of any myself, which is why I explained what I was trying to do. If you can't make the joke, explaining it is the next best thing.
Sure. I liked how Dottie acted around the amusement park, though.
And it didn't help in the beginning when the three guys were in bed together.
Oh, God. Yeah. I was trying to skip that part.
And yet Chiyoko walks in and acts like barely anything is going on.
She did have this look on her face, though, like...
Yes, but she didn't say anything.
That's what made it, though. She sold it with just the look on her face.
Yeah, just kind of, okay.
I'll not... Don't ask, don't tell.
Yes, that screen capture is kind of... well, without context, you know.
With context.
With... Well, it's not as
much so.
It's not
exactly a good thing either way.
No. Yes, I am kind of missing how that seemed like a good idea. To cover up the sound of people being thrown around the room.
I do like it when they remember that Hina can, chuck boulders.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll ever explain why that is.
No.
I don't think so.
No, it's just there to be funny.
And it usually is.
And, you know, make wacky problems like this.
And, of course, she can only do it when it's funny.
Yeah, because, well, she did try and throw something at Uva once.
Yeah, but that's because Uva's dull.
Well, yes.
Something interesting had to happen in that scene.
This is also true.
Plus, you know, if it hadn't turned out to be basically useless throwing something at him, she'd probably do it more often.
This is true. So the only time it was actually effective was the crack episode that made no sense and has no bearing.
Right. I wonder what Mook is doing right now.
Being boring.
Probably knitting a new suit.
He's stuffing himself a new shocker beast.
Yes.
If you know what I mean.
Oh, there's a euphemism I need to use somewhere sometime.
Stuffing a shocker beast.
For a nickel.
Well, your mom's a beast and I got shocked by her.
And you got a shot after being shocked by her.
Yeah.
But not
and
only...
Also, and also, I do like Ankh's, well, plan of getting those medals, which is let AG be attacked and grab the medals when they... before they can go into a driver, but
it was a good idea at the time. Good idea at the time.
Yes, they're apparently far, far too powerful for Ankh to handle.
Or at least just that Ankh.
and more Puto Terror is resembling Fang Joker.
Well, that actually, seemed evident anyway.
Yeah.
He's more Fang Joker than Fang Joker was Fang Joker, because after the first appearance, Philip could control Fang Joker completely, while Puto Terror is still just running all around.
Technically, I think that was the second appearance, because didn't Fang Joker not debut in the series until after
the movie? Right. The movie. I tend to forget that. But, yeah.
Shame on you.
Well, I mean, I forget the placement of it.
Shame on you.
Well. But in the series, though, it still was only one episode, regardless.
Yeah.
This seems like it's going to carry on for at least a... I don't know, maybe... Might happen. I mean, he might control it next episode, but...
I think he will. That's kind of what the preview looked like.
Yeah. Because he was actually fighting with Birth, it looked like.
Well, I mean, it would get kind of... old
boring.
Troublesome if he kept on not being able to control it.
Yeah, I just hope it doesn't completely vanish like it did with Fang Joker.
It will.
Let me have my hopes.
No, not on this show.
It will when he gets the next upgrade.
Got what next upgrade? Upgrade?
Well, I guess there's the movie one, but that hardly counts.
Yeah, I hope that this actually is the final upgrade, because I don't think another form would help the series.
No, this is probably it, because it's in the right place to be the final power-up.
Yeah, it's the exact same time that Extreme appeared.
And it's not a terrible one.
No, it's not.
A little busy-looking, but it'll do.
Yeah. And
well, that's most of those forms.
The toy seems
more,
to
though.
Yeah. The toy seems to show some kind of connection to the... other pure combos too, so hopefully that'll integrate somehow.
I don't think they're gonna mix up Puto Terra.
No, not mix it up, but when you put certain metals in the axe gun, it has a little song that it plays for each of the pure combos.
Well, I'm sure it'll be easier for him to put different metals in the axe thing once he's not, you know, berserk.
Or actually put metals in it at all.
Whatever.
And despite my prediction from a while back, they actually did use Sagozo again.
But they stopped just short of him using his finishing attack.
Exactly. This time he got his ass handed to him with it.
Well, you know, the bird yummy did use Goto as a shield.
Yeah, he didn't actually...
it's a flying type. Ground attacks are useless.
The yummy actually didn't hurt Sagozo any, because he actually beat it into the ground until Goto became a human shield. It's just that Goto being a human shield stopped him from using the attack.
He needed an electric attack to use against the flying type.
Oh, it's a shame that Uva still has all the screen medals.
Nearly all of them.
Well, most of them.
Because Eiji has one and Kazali has at least one.
Yeah. Just not enough to actually use the electric attacks.
Too bad. I'm sure Uva will get offed pretty soon, and, you know, his medals will get split around again.
And I still miss Gamel, dammit.
Gamel barely ever did anything, though.
He was entertaining.
He built chair forts.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of sad when he got killed like that.
So early, too.
Yeah. And taken out... Yeah, that's one of the only things I didn't really like early on, is that they basically killed off half the villains a quarter of the way through.
I guess they decided they wanted to focus on Kazali and sort of Uva.
Now, I could see Gamma getting along pretty well with Kid Onk.
No, I think Kid Onk is a little bit beyond Gamma.
I think Kid Onk is
a little bit beyond everybody.
Yeah.
I mean mentally.
I know.
Everyone's a little bit beyond Gamma there.
So yeah, they get to go to an amusement park, Hina gets kidnapped, and that pretty much launches the plot along.
So Eiji's friend is not only a creepy stalker, he is also a creepy kidnapper.
Right. What exactly was his desire that spawned that yummy? I want to know.
Eiji.
He probably...
No, I mean, look at what happened.
That's what it seems to be.
The yummy got spawned, and then the yummy started taking all of AG's friends away from him.
Yeah. He apparently wants to be AG's only friend. Quote-unquote friend.
If you know what I mean.
He wanted to be in that bed.
for a nickel.
Where is Chris Hansen? So yeah, that's what happened. And Dante got taken away first, so no birth.
I did like to, well, for what little we did get of birth, he seemed to be kind of busting out some wrestling moves on that yummy.
Yeah, why didn't he, like, you know, use a gun?
He actually hasn't used any of his weapons since Dr. Maki left, if you've noticed.
I wonder if they don't work anymore.
That's what I was wondering, because he literally has not used any of his claw weapons ever since he took out the panda yummy. And then Dr. Maki left, and he's only thing he's used, I think, is his fists and the buster.
That's, well, and considering strange. He's broken his the equipment before.
Like,
and
every time
he tries to fix it.
Yeah, he breaks it every time he fights Kazali.
Always ending up in the red.
Oops. Well, Birth got a whole lot less useful after Dr. Maki left, didn't he?
Seems that way.
But meanwhile, Goto just throws a can.
Poor...
You'd think Kogami would control the Birth technology now.
I don't think it's about control, though. I think it might be about maintenance.
I'm sure Kogami has, like, staffs of scientists that can go over it. And,
but
you
none
know,
of them are Dr. Maki.
None of them are Dr. Maki, who made the stuff.
And broke all the records.
Yeah, so Date probably has to be just a little bit more careful now.
Kind of like having an Iron Man armor with nobody to maintain it.
Pretty much.
Like the early 300s of Iron Man. With War Machine, I mean.
Yeah.
I thought Iron Man was armor was powered and I'm kept up by his hate of communism or something.
Right, but you know, Rhodey took off with the War Machine armor at the end of the 200s.
Ah, true, and he probably doesn't hate communism enough.
Yeah, he went off to fight the good fight or something in Africa and got the armor all smashed up and couldn't fix it himself. So then he decided to come back and beat Tony up until he fixed the armor for him.
That's a good motivator. Violence.
Yes, but really, that seems more like a Tony plan than a Rhodey plan.
Really does. It's like, I am going to beat you until you fix this. What if you keep beating me until I can't fix this? Well...
Well, you know, a Tony plan is, I'm just going to make you do what I want until you do it.
And then there's booze in there somewhere.
Huh?
And then there's booze in there somewhere, too.
Well, not anymore, but...
Depends on the year.
Exactly.
Depends on the writer.
Right.
Depends on who wants to retread old plot threads.
Speaking of which, I hope Iron Man 3 addresses the alcoholism.
Well, he sure got drunk in the second one.
I know, that's what gives me hope.
Well, new director also, so...
That could give you less hope.
Yeah.
It's also true.
It didn't help X-Men any.
No.
Well, nothing could have helped that cluster.
Brett Ratner. But hopefully Iron Man 3 will be look a little bit better.
Just give hopefully. Us Cap first.
What?
Give us Cap first.
And Avengers.
Well, I think we are getting those first, aren't we?
Yeah, Avengers already started filming.
And Captain America is out in July, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, after those two, the whole Marvel
Cap deserves
movie
it
universe,
more, though.
The whole Marvel movie universe can go ahead and go to hell after those two movies come out.
Yeah, Iron Man's had two good movies already. Cap's had three really shitty movies. Let him get a good one for once.
This is also true.
Yeah, I should rewatch those made-for-TV Captain America movies again.
Don't.
I say that having already seen them a couple of times.
Christopher Lee.
Hilarity. Okay, so anything else for this segment, or should we go ahead and take a nice break?
Break works.
Okay.
That's good enough for now.
Okay, up next is another review from Paladin for our Writer Movie Month, and then we'll be back with Power Playback.
Come in, Lido. Superhero time.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. news, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the Street Fighter 3.
From Beast Wars to Zeta Gundam, FigureReviews.com features a library of in-depth action figure reviews and high-quality photography reaching back to 2005.
XV and RAC carefully evaluate each figure and rate it on a non-numerical scale ranging from state-of-the-art to shoot-yourself, using a special formula based on years of toy reviewing experience.
Text, photos, video, audio. Informative awesome in every format. FigureReviews.com.
We paid your mom a nickel to listen to Superhero Time. She died.
Welcome again to Paladin's Place. Our movie month marches on, and I'm back with an all-new writer review.
Luna, Torigar, Heat, Metal, Cyclo, Angu, Joker, Extreme,
Final Kamen Rider.
I have to confess, I was only mildly interested in Kamen Rider Double when it was first announced, and I never paid that much attention to the series, but I was persuaded to give it another try thanks to the trio of loudmouth southerners that I am very fortunate to work with each week. And that effort was most definitely worth it. I highly recommend Double to any and all tokusatsu fans for its superb blending of action and comedy supported by continuously strong character development. After the series had won me over with its charm, I decided to add a Double figure to my shelves. Thus, I stumbled upon SH Figuarts. In other words, Double is a gateway drug for media and merchandise. At the moment, Kamen Rider Double currently holds the record for most Figuarts releases, so there's more than enough options for collectors out there. For better or worse, I took the boring route and picked up Double's default form, SH Figuarts Cyclone Joker. This green and purple configuration represents the most basic fusion of Double's Gaia memory abilities. The Cyclone memory grants improved agility and speed, while the Joker memory provides enhanced fighting talents. This combination of powers is usually enough to ward off a majority of the rubber-suited monstrosities that prowl the Windy City. Cyclone Joker in Figuarts form also demonstrates another superb blending of critical functions, demonstrating both the excellent paint apps and superb articulation that this series of action figures is so well known for. But I can only say Figuarts are awesome so many times before it gets boring, so I'll just move on to another point here. The most obvious negative factor in Cyclone Joker is the lack of handheld weapons, or in fact accessories of any sort. All he gets is a couple of scarves, which is a character trope left over from the Golden Age of Kamen Rider, as well as the traditional assortment of action hands required to pull up the appropriate hard-boiled poses this rider is so well known for. I think it would have been nice to see miniature Gaia memories included to fully replicate Cyclone Joker's on-screen appearance, but I can see why the memories wouldn't be included. At this scale, they'd probably be useless. Despite this accessory shortcoming, I'm still glad I picked up Cyclone Joker, and he definitely gets my recommendation. On the other hand, fans of Double wanting a figure art entry with a bit more play value or variety can certainly find something suited to their taste from the current Double figure arts assortment of riders, Dopant vehicles, and Zero-class statues. That's about it for this week's rider review, so thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Superhero Time!
Now back to action with Superhero Time.
Okay, so for Power Playback this week, it's the second week of Rider Movie Month. Second? Yeah, second. And so this time we did Decade All Riders versus Die Shocker, the first of Decade's two movies. So, that sure was a thing.
Well,
dang.
A decade thing.
Well, he had sort of like 5 minutes of a movie also earlier in the year, so not that it really counted.
No.
Nothing counts with Decade.
So the time has come for the Rider War, kind of. Instead of huge battle from Natsumi's visions involving all the Riders at once, it's a tournament battle. Woo!
Well, they don't call it the Rider War. They call it the Rider Battle. So I guess that's a step down from a war.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Many will enter, one will leave.
So they fight to determine who the strongest Rider is. And shockingly, it's Decade.
Well, yeah, it's his movie.
Yeah. Even considering Decade, I still don't quite buy the fight he won in. Not completely. I mean, because, you know, Daiki just ditched out and Kuga was Kuga.
Useless.
And,
yeah, useless.
Somehow I don't fully buy him beating Black, Super One, and freaking V3 all in one hit.
With the triple Rider kick?
Yeah. But then again, it is Decade and he's kind of, a little bit overpowered.
A little?
Just a little.
If Kuga had really been trying, though, he could have won.
Kuga doesn't really try for most of this movie. Or all of this movie, actually.
Kuga doesn't really try for most of the series. I say he doesn't try for most of the series because there's part of the series where he just does not try at all.
Yeah, he kind of forgets he was a writer.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, yeah, this is true. To the point where he's just turning into other writers except for the one he actually is.
Yes, but then he gets to turn into himself and become a weapon.
And a probe.
Well, they go hand in hand, sort of. Maybe not hand in hand, but, you know. They go thing in somewhere.
Much like your mom.
Though we do at least get to find out a bit more about Tsukasa's actual backstory.
Or if you can call it that.
Well,
closest we're going to get. Has no f***ing clue whatsoever.
Much like Decade's writers, I think.
That actually was going to be my comment.
Pretty much.
Because obviously they didn't really have a clue what they were trying to do with this. But no, the whole Rider Battle War thing was just a setup. The true purpose of the tournament battle was to eliminate the other Riders and clear the way for a Die Shocker invasion using the bridges that Decade created during his travels between worlds. Or something.
And also
like
there's squid and beer.
You sure it wasn't Octozord?
Speaking of
no,
things...
No, I'm not sure of anything anymore.
Speaking of things that made no sense.
Well, you know, in the Decade final chapter, they show that it's the fault of a Gaia memory.
True, this is true, but we didn't know this for about 6 months.
Closer to a year if you're waiting for the subtitles.
That's also true.
Sigh. So, let's see. But, you know, the whole Shocker invasion thing is okay, because Tsukasa is actually Die Shocker's great leader. What?
What?
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, he's their great leader for about 5 minutes.
Until Shadow Moon kicks him out.
Right after he alienates all of his supporting cast.
Yeah.
And his sister, who he apparently already had alienated.
Apparently so. So yeah, Shadow Moon Uncle fills him out of the Shocker Castle, and he goes wandering in the rain.
I find that so funny, because it's like, okay, I'm going to betray all of you. Oh, wait, now I got betrayed. Please take me back.
but I forgot. First, before he gets Uncle filled out of the castle, his sister takes control of useful Yusuke and turns him into Ultimate Kuga.
Now, was that in the Kuga series before, or did they make that up for this movie?
So Ultimate Kuga was the final form in the Kuga series.
This is Rising, or is it Ultimate Rising Kuga, or Kuga?
It's Rising Ultimate, which they invented for Decade.
So they took the ultimate form and added on more stupid effects?
More pretty gold. Much. Yeah, they took Ultimate Kuga and made him a little bit golder, and, you know, more powerful than original Kuga.
Supposedly.
Which is just, you know, completely appropriate for this Yusuke.
Uh-huh. Completely. Because he uses the power so well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the only time he ever uses the power is to try to kill Decade.
Yeah, he knocks
whether
back
or
some
not
other...
under his own influence.
Yeah, he knocks back some other Riders, and that's about it. Then he chokes Decade for about 5 minutes.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a Your Mom joke in there somewhere.
Probably. I'm not good at them, though.
Choking the Decade. I'll have to think about that one.
Do it in post.
Well, whatever.
That's what she said.
So, failing to get Natsumi to let him back in the photo studio, Tsukasa wanders around until he finds himself in a burned-out building as the Daishaka invasion begins in all of the Rider worlds at once. Ambitious,
isn't
it?
You mean the same burned-out building that
everything else happens
there in a burned-out building?
Yes, that one.
Probably.
Just shot from a different angle.
But then a version of Rider Man confronts him for the evils he did in the past and has allowed to happen now. A very pretty version of Rider Man, played by Gackt.
Is that the emo bitch with the robot arm?
Yes.
Okay.
The thing about that is, nobody except for a hardcore fanboy would even realize who that was supposed to be.
Oh yeah, I never knew until I read later. It's just,
who's the pretty guy
with the robot arm?
I only knew because they kind of made a deal about it when it first came out, and they had this music video of him singing the theme song, and they had this kind of thing play out with him as his character thing. But they had this thing play out with him as his character in the music video where he's kicking a bunch of guys' asses and riding on this motorcycle and some other stuff. But that's the only reason I knew. If I didn't know about all that going in, I'd have no idea who the hell this guy was supposed to be.
But yeah, as the Shocker forces move in on them, Rider Man tears off his own arm and goes to attack the Shocker troops so Tsukasa can escape. He's going to beat them with his own torn-off arm.
I would have liked to have seen
that. Who the hell wrote this again?
Well, they're cassette arms. They can be swapped out.
Yeah. Rider Man is special.
He has a special arm. There is none other like it.
Except for the 6 or 7 other ones he keeps in the back of his motorcycle.
No, they're different special arms that are on completely different arms.
He can probably get replacements.
If you're asking who actually wrote it, it was Shoji Yonemura, who is actually one of my least favorite writers on Digimon Cross Wars. So,
yeah, I don't think that was actually a serious question.
No. But hey, it was asked.
So it was someone tearing off their arm and beating people with it. I was expecting Liefeld.
Nice. So while all this arm ripping and looking pretty is going on, Natsumi is trying to escape the monsters and Shocker soldiers massacring the city. And boy, are they massacring the city. Cutting people down the street and blood and everything.
Though at least they had... Yeah, it's kind of graphic, actually.
It's fairly violent, yeah.
Kamen Rider buckets of blood.
Well, it's more in the shadows, but...
I think Kamen Rider the First is more the buckets of blood type.
True.
And Shin.
Well, Shin, yeah.
That's more like buckets of spines.
There's blood with that.
Finish him. So Narutaki appears and offers to save Natsumi by taking her to another Rider world. But unfortunately, that one's being invaded too. Oops. Good job, Narutaki.
If only they'd listen to him in the first place.
Clearly, yeah, this really is all Decade's fault.
You can kind of understand why he went crazy.
What do you mean, went crazy?
Well, further crazy. Like, cosplay crazy.
It's okay, though, because D.N. comes in to save the day dressed as a mook.
I do love D.N.
Yeah, he's the best writer in the series.
Definitely.
And he gets rewarded with a new treasure for it.
That's a different movie.
No, I mean the laugh pressure point thing.
Oh. So after D.N. saves them from the Shocker soldiers, they all take off to try to find other Riders to help fight off the invasion. Unfortunately, they make kind of bad choices.
Yeah!
Because they're more interested in helping tear the world apart, but that's really what you get for calling up Oja and Kickhopper.
Yeah, that's the best he could do.
And, you know, these appear to be the originals, not the duplicates that D.N. can shoot out of his gun.
Yeah.
For some reason.
And who are for some reason just chilling out in a cafeteria in costume.
Well, there's an invasion going on. You think they're not going to be in their suits?
Well, this is true.
Maybe they just wanted some curry.
Sadly, Marvelous beat them to it.
So just as they're about to get finished off by a bunch of Shocker troops, Tsukasa arrives to save the day. A lot of that going on, isn't there?
Yes. And then DN kills Count Dragon.
Thankfully.
And then Decade, DN, and Natsumi make for the Die Shocker castle. But the whole Die Shocker army shows up to stop them. Because that just wasn't a terrible idea at all, was it?
No.
So the army's looking all menacing and powerful, but then all the past main riders appear to join the fight.
For some reason.
Who are somehow not dead.
Yeah, I don't really get it either.
Rider 1 does make this small speech about, you know, so long as there is, you know, what hope in the world or whatever, they will always be common riders.
So long as there are more toys to sell, there will always be common riders.
So by the power of burning justice, they are Captain Planet.
I think they pretty much do the exact same thing in the new movie.
Well, that's pretty much all they ever do.
Yes.
Clearly it's all Narutaki's fault.
Whoever they got to play Rider 1 here for the couple lines they had, because it wasn't the original, was actually pretty good, I thought.
He sounds who's going to know the difference anyway.
Yeah.
So Ultimate Kuga comes back to fight Decade, but Tsukasa gets through to his sister through Yusuke, who apparently has nothing better to do than be a telephone, and convinces her to stop what she's doing, and in the process frees Yusuke from the mind control.
For better or worse.
Actually, yeah. A bit more useful when he was evil.
At least now they can complete the Rider lineup.
Right.
And, well, the Rider lineup and that weird bug thing.
Hi, Shin.
What, Shin?
Poor Shin.
These are
Shin
weird
always
here.
Looks out of place. No
yeah, he really does.
Gee, go figure.
It's amazing they still acknowledge him, even considering how, you know, not like the others he is on all levels.
Yeah. Disappointed he didn't rip off any heads.
Too bad. There was plenty of suits around to rip the heads off of, too.
Really were.
Yes.
Although he did grab two by the throat and didn't cut away.
Well, here's the thing. Shin kind of balances out the confusion with J and Z-O. So.
A little
How's
bit.
How's that?
Well, you can tell J and Z-O apart when J's big. That's about it.
But they even make fun of not being able to tell those two apart in one of the Let's Go Kamen Rider Net movies.
I still need to watch those.
I need to watch those now.
The one with Z-O is awesome. He just starts going into a rant about how he was about, look at his name, and he was made for the 20th anniversary of the series starting, but it started, but that was in 91. His movie came out in 93.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. That's one word for it.
And then about how no one could tell him and Jay apart in a fight, and also how the heck, and also that no one knows how to pronounce his name. Is it Z-O? Is it Zo?
Zo, that's who.
I'm nice. Almost surprised that Toei has that much of a sense of humor about themselves.
So anyway, back to All Riders. Shadow
At
Moon.
At that point, it just goes f***ing nuts with the rider battles.
Yeah, Shadow Moon comes out to lead the attack himself, and handily defeats Decade and Kuga. But Shadow Moon is stopped, pretty much dead, by the intervention of Double.
Well, by
who appears only long enough to beat the crap out of Shadow Moon and completely show up Kuga and Decade before riding off into the wind once again.
And they and for whatever reason, they decide that, Shadow Moon talks about, whoa, what's this green, who's this green guy? And Decade is, who's this black guy?
Because they each only see one side.
Yeah.
But yeah, Double shows up just to kill Robo, just shows up to kill Robo Rider to death and leaves, and
make sure to watch my new show!
It's almost exactly what Eiji did in Riders Together A to Z Forever.
No.
They did Eiji a bit better because he kind of showed up, because, I mean, Double probably could have taken the Luna Dopant, He just showed up to get, you know, buy him time and get away. But Double just shows up and it's like, yeah, you guys suck. I'm cool.
Which is true.
Well, think about it like this, though. If Decade could beat all of those other riders, but he couldn't beat Shadow Moon, and yet...
Well, that's because Double Shadow Moon isn't Shadow a rider. Moon.
Well, yes, but what does that say about Double's power level?
It's over 9,000.
I hate you guys. I just don't even want to talk to you anymore. But the show must go on, so...
In my defense, I didn't say that joke. I just set it up.
That's almost as bad.
Almost.
The sad thing is, I knew exactly what the response would be if I said that.
So, all of the writers who have not wrote off being all cool like that kick the Die Shocker Castle and destroy it, and Shadow Moon. That must save a lot on building demolition costs. Of course, you know, if this Kuga could actually use his powers correctly, he could have done the whole job by himself.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
If the original Kuga could ride or kick a city, I think this Kuga could probably finish off a whole invasion in one shot.
He could, but he's not going to do anything about it. It ain't his problem.
Well, plus he was busy being mind-controlled most of the time.
Are all the movies in this series going to involve Ryder kicking a skyscraper?
It's entirely possible. Well, what else are you going to do when you have a skyscraper and a bunch of Ryders standing around?
Blow it the f*** up.
Yes.
By kicking it. Well, that's why they kick it.
Well, yes.
It ain't going to blow up if they don't kick it.
Well,
they could plant explosives.
Not
unless it's
enough.
A pinto.
Well, granted, they could punch it. That also works.
Well, yeah. Not as fun, though.
But unfortunately, destroying the Die Shocker Castle releases the final boss.
King Dark, I think, right?
From out of nowhere.
Isn't that always how it happens?
Yeah, well, pretty much.
Pretty much.
And
Final Fantasy boss syndrome.
Yeah. And to defeat King Dark, Dien brings Jay out and forces him and
King
Decade
Dark
to...
from
X, I think, right?
So why didn't they use a giant starfish Hitler?
Well, the Hitler building blew up, remember?
So Dien forces Jay and Decade to transform into a really big Decade, who pulls a really big rider kick.
The second to last final form ride.
Second to last?
Yeah, remember next year we got Cyclone, and Joker?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then. So, in the end, with Die Shocker seemingly destroyed, Tsukasa abandons his sister again to keep sliding from world to world, hoping that each leap will be the leap home. Wait. I think I might have got that one wrong.
I don't think so.
The right factory.
Huh?
Factory.
What?
Rape factory.
Rape factory? Oh.
Sliders.
Yeah. I kind of put that out of my mind.
I think I missed this one.
That's okay. Trust me, that's okay. Sliders had a bit of a sliding cast, you might say, and they weren't very kind to former cast members.
Oh, I see. So, I can imagine now that you say it like that.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not sure
I want
to imagine.
Bear in mind also that after like the first season, Sliders kind of fell apart.
I only saw the parts of the first season, so.
Well, then you saw probably, you know, the good part, relatively speaking.
Good to know.
Whereas, you know, Quantum Leap is good throughout. It doesn't have a rape factory.
God. Oh my.
Yeah. But yes, that was All Riders versus Die Shocker.
It happened.
It's very confusing.
Oh yeah, it's a decade.
It's very decade.
Yeah. Very decade is the best way to put it. And I enjoy Decade for what it is. It's just, I try not to, I've stopped trying to make sense of it.
It's impressive for not being able to fit into its own continuity, but having to fit into its own continuity anyway.
I enjoy Decade for the spectacle, but the storytelling is f***ing terrible.
Well, the storytelling was okay with the first writer, but that only lasted for the first dozen episodes.
Yeah. He left. Or did he get booted? I forget.
I don't know. Doesn't really matter. It just wasn't as good after that.
Yeah.
All the creative writer worlds were with the first writer.
Yeah, that was up to what? Fies?
Yeah. Because I think they changed writers after DN's introduction.
Yeah. The Dino one was good, but besides that, they're all a little bit bland.
Well, Deno World didn't even try to reimagine the concept. It stayed in continuity, basically.
Well, that was to advertise the movie, though.
Right. But, I mean, it's kind of hard to do that wrong.
Yeah, this is true. Well, Decade does have the end, so...
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Gotta get something out of it.
Yes, but I still don't think that quite saves the movie, does it?
No, not
really this
doesn't.
Time.
No.
Too bad.
Quiet.
But still, it was a thing to do for a while.
Yeah, and I wanted to like it too, but I just
can't.
It's very confusing. I can if I don't try and piece together the plot, such as it is.
Plot?
Yeah. I do hope the new one makes a bit more sense than that, though from what I've read, it doesn't quite in some sense. Sigh.
It's a time travel movie.
Yeah, that's gonna be a mess. Thanks so much, Deno.
I thought you liked Deno.
Yes, but I can still recognize when it's doing something bad.
Time travel in general is something I'm not usually enthused about.
Just this application of it seems like it's gonna be a problem.
Well, considering how I know the movie ends, it kind of is.
There you go. And see, this movie doesn't even have the advantage that Decade Final Chapter does in having tackle. So that there's at least something interesting to look at for a few minutes.
Well, yeah. Very few, but still a few.
She's there, it counts. So, next week on Writer Movie Month, we're doing the Kabuto movie Godspeed Love. Which may still not make sense, but at least it knows it's not making sense and doesn't try to be in continuity with the series.
That sounds kind of awesome, actually. I haven't gotten the Kabuto yet.
That's okay. It's okay, you don't have to be on next week.
I'm just speaking in general.
Kabuto is mostly good, I think.
Kabuto is good. I mean, if you're not wanting like heavy drama series, you might not want to go for that first, but...
Yeah, I haven't gotten to it yet, because ironically, what got me into Kamen Rider was Decade.
Could be worse.
Well, the concept seemed so interesting going in, and then it came to the end of it, and...
And yeah. It was still going.
Yeah.
I didn't watch Double for 6 months. It was still the middle of the series.
I did not watch Double for 6 months. Because
it could be worse. You could have gotten into Sentai with Gosager.
I don't think that would have happened.
Well, we should be thankful for that, I guess.
I have to wonder about people who had Gosager as their first exposure to Sentai. Because, you know, there had to be some people like that out there. And I wonder if they enjoyed it.
I don't know. You know, it's kind of an influx, because I got back into Toku with Shinkenger, and I know it's kind of an influx with Shinkenger. I didn't really notice that with Gosager.
Gee, I wonder why.
But see, what I really feel bad for the people who are coming into it with Gokaiger, because no way the series after Gokaiger is going to be anywhere near as good. We have to enjoy this as much as possible while it's here.
And we will.
Oh, yes.
Trying.
Yeah.
That's why I'm glad it looks like Gokaiger is an actual full series as opposed to what they did with Decade.
Well, I think with Decade... With Decade, they always intended to do the series that length.
Yeah.
And I think it was purposely to stagger the start dates of the Rider and Sentai series.
Yeah, so that way all the toys don't come out at the same time.
Yeah.
And they could distinguish each other for the different target markets.
And, you know, the Rider toys would be available for the Christmas shopping season.
And given that Kamen Rider Kamen Rider was selling and doing better before Decay than Sentai at that point, before Decay came around, right? Or am I misremembering something?
The Rider toys are generally pretty popular. You know, I mean, I don't think it really matters what the series is.
Yeah. Unless
plus,
it's
you know,
Hibiki.
Well, Hibiki, you know, I mean...
There's a lot wrong with that.
I read is that Hibiki wasn't even intended from the start to be a Rider series. They just repurposed it later.
Pretty much, yeah.
And it shows.
Well, yeah, I mean, the designs are all wrong, for one thing.
Then they got rid of the entire production crew, and yeah.
Well, you know, something similar to that happened with Blade also, but... You know.
I heard Blade turned out a bit better than that, though.
Well, yeah, the way I understand what happened with Hibiki is that it just, you know, went to pieces without the original production crew.
Yeah, I think, if I remember hearing right, or reading right, Hibiki's production crew, at least the heads of it, were also some of the same ones that worked on Kuga, right? I believe.
That I don't know offhand.
Because I heard something about how that falling out kind of people that were close to that production crew kind of made him a bit wary of going back to Toei, though thankfully not Arakawa, who is writing Gokaiger.
Okay. I have nothing I can really contribute to that statement either way, so.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember, because I was reading it in some discussions, but I'm not entirely sure on the validity of it.
But see, if nothing else, you have to acknowledge that Hibiki and Decade came together for one good thing, which was the Final Attack ride.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In fact, I think I will run that as our closing theme this week.
Yet another reason we should have another musical episode.
Well, yeah, I need to go back and listen to the first one to get an idea of what we would need to cover with a second, the musical.
Probably the Japanese stuff this time.
Yeah, I know, but we talked a little bit at least about that on the first one, so I wouldn't want to like completely overlap. What I definitely would want to talk about on the next, the musical, is the foreign language Power Rangers music.
Foreign language Power Rangers music?
Yes, like the Portuguese White Ranger theme.
Yeah.
And the Polish Dino Thunder.
Oh, that sounds like it would be entertaining.
It is. Hang on a second, I'll show you.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, this should be shared. As soon as my bookmarks load.
Should be shared? You mean like the origin of birth?
Mickey's birth?
Exactly.
Yeah, doesn't that just make you regret ever agreeing to be on the show, Ken?
That replaced the whale in my nightmares.
The whale?
You mean Ford Max's mother?
It's a Moby Dick joke.
Or did it replace the whale as in Fort Max's voice?
I'm not helping matters, am I?
No. Okay, look here. And for what few listeners we still have left by this point, I'm afraid I'm not going to link this into the show notes for you because this is a secret and I don't want anybody else knowing about it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. As it is, I'm going to have to kill Fort Max, Paladin, and Ken after the show so they can't know about it either. So enjoy this while you can, guys.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, God.
Yeah, listen to some of the Portuguese ones. They're actually really good sounding.
Yeah, I just tried the Polish Dino Thunder one, and... Wow.
That's okay, too, but, I mean, the original Power Rangers music up there actually sounds better than the English versions. No slight to Ron Wasserman, but they got a really good singer for this.
That's impressive.
Well, you know, it's not like Ron Wasserman ever intended to be the singing voice of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It just kind of happened that way. Which is not to say he did not lend a distinct style to the music.
That's true.
So I won't complain either way.
Yeah. I mean, I always liked him as a kid anyway.
Okay, I know someone's listening to something, but I can't tell what. Because I can hear it coming back over the headphones.
I don't think that's me this time.
I blame Fort Max. In Mickey's absence, I blame Fort Max. Because if Mickey was here, he'd blame Fort Max. Well, somebody has to blame Fort Max.
Hasn't been as much of that in this episode, I noticed.
Well, I was busy. I'm tired, okay? I'll do better next time.
That's what she said.
No, Fort Max has just been unusually quiet this episode.
Like so.
Yeah, it's very strange. I'm not used to that. I didn't know that was actually an option with Fort Max.
It should be.
Like there's a check, like there's a checklist, and you get to pick off which what you get. Like I want a quiet. I want him quiet this week.
Believe me, if I had that, I would be tempted to use it frequently.
Just frequently?
Yes. Very frequently. Like anytime Fort Max tries to talk over, you know, anyone, which is very frequently. Right, Fort Max?
Aw.
Exactly.
In my defense, I'm new at this.
What, Ken?
In my defense, I'm new at this, so.
In your defense, you're not nearly as bad about it. Yes, it may sound like we're horrible to Fort Max, but that's just because we are.
No, we sound like we're horrible to our audience, too.
That's because we are. We sound like we're horrible to everybody, but, I mean, it's not undeserved, is it? And it's certainly not unjustified. So, yeah, Ken, what do you think of these foreign language Power Rangers tracks?
Frightening.
But some of them sound good, don't they?
I haven't gotten to the good ones yet.
White Ranger theme?
Let's see here.
You know, we got some time to kill yet. We don't need a short show or anything. I'm impressed. RFC from last week ended up being almost as long as an episode of Superhero Time. But that's because there was like half an hour of drop-in content to add in post.
Okay, the Portuguese White Ranger theme is pretty good.
Yeah. I've got that in constant rotation in Winamp. Along with the Gokaiju's sea shanty. That is actually, the sea shanty is what prompted me to want to bring the musical up again pretty soon.
And also, I've got 10 tracks from the Prime soundtrack that the composer put up online briefly.
Oh.
Do any of them include Bulkhead screaming like a girl?
I think that would be a sound effects track, not a soundtrack.
I still stand by that point.
Okay. Yeah, that would make a good ringtone, Bulkhead screaming like a little girl.
Yes.
I still want a toy.
It's probably not going to work because the wiki's is kind of dead right now.
Now? I still want a Bulkhead toy that's compatible with classics stuff.
Are they doing a Bulkhead toy for Prime?
Not sure announced yet.
They will, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come along with Ratchet. But, you know, even Bulkhead's Prime robot model isn't that classics looking. More like half movie, half animated.
Which is about sums up Prime's design in general.
Yeah.
Pretty much sums up Prime in general.
Yeah.
Not that that's entirely a bad thing.
Yeah. No, it's not a bad thing. I'm enjoying it.
It's a little hit and miss, but when it's good, it's actually really good.
Yeah, I'm probably the thing that it's best compared to is Season 1 of Beast Wars.
Early Season 1 of Beast Wars.
Yeah. And, well, Prime's in early Season 1.
The second half of Season 1 of Beast Wars was markedly improved over the first half.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if Prime progresses along the same curve like that, I will be really happy with it.
Yeah, I think I'm enjoying Prime more than the early first season of Beast Wars, though, myself. more or less.
When yeah, it just it's kind of
the longest graph does not talk. Like that.
Right.
Raph's still better than Miko.
Miko is awesome.
I like Miko actually a lot more than Raph. I can deal with Miko. Raph, it just kind of annoys me a little bit.
And I want Bumblebee to f***ing talk again.
Maybe for
after the movies.
They let him talk in War for Cybertron.
Well, yes, but that's...
They even got the Black Ranger to play him.
Yeah,
but that wouldn't have really worked without somebody talking, because they, you know, talk through the entire level, so...
Subtitles.
Well, yeah, but then...
Isn't all the dialogue subtitled already, anyway?
Yes.
Well, not when you're in the middle of playing, though.
It should be.
I don't think it is it?
You have to turn the option on, but it's there.
Oh, okay. I never turned the option on.
Yeah, and, you know, for Bumblebee, it would just be forced subtitles. If you know what I mean.
Yes, but do you want to encourage that?
As long as it's not in a factory. Thank you, Fort Max. The best thing you brought up all night. So sad. So
surely
sad.
I think my imagination, though, is probably worse than it could possibly be. I hope it is, anyway.
I don't know. You haven't seen later Sliders.
I have not.
Kind of bad. And that last season of Sliders was the worst. The last season of Sliders where there was only one original cast member left.
Oh, jeez. Who actually stayed around that long?
Yeah, what was that, 5 seasons?
I think it was just... Was it 4 or 5? I don't even know.
I don't know, I lost interest when they killed Arturo off.
I only saw it when it first aired when I was a kid.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot better in your memory than the actual product.
Probably is.
Yeah.
Happens a lot.
That's how childhood memories work.
Kind of like... Well...
What?
Kind of like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Shut your mouth.
Just kidding.
You know, I was thinking, hey. In along the line of theme months, we should do a Green Ranger month. You know, a Tommy the Green Ranger month.
Not Bridge?
He can have another month.
Not Ziggy?
No, because what I was thinking of is we could do the Rise and Fall and Rise and Fall of the Green Ranger. That's exactly how it happened.
So let's see, it would be Green with Evil, Green Candle, Return of an Old Friend,
Shell Shocked or whatever.
So that 2-part episode.
Back the In Space crossover?
Whatever. Turbine Shell. I don't remember what the episode was called.
Turbine. That...
It's the one with the confusing time travel element. Again.
Yeah, the 3-parter with Colonial Angel Grove, because we're out of ideas and we're in Australia.
Well, no, that would go along with, like, something to do with Power Rangers the movie.
Because
that's more of a footnote to production of Power Rangers the movie.
But it also has Green Ranger.
Well, it has a Green Ranger. Not the original Green Ranger.
The Turbine Shell one was the one with the god-awful Dark Rangers, too, wasn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
And, you know, Joe Roving, I think, even made a website to try to explain how the time travel element of that episode worked, and I gotta say, it just made me more confused about the whole thing.
Blame it on the Quantasaurus Rex.
That's usually the way time travel works.
Yeah, we've gotta do those episodes at some point, because there's just too much discussion potential in that. Plus, you know, Green with Evil is a classic.
Yeah.
We have to ruin it.
But,
and on that note, I believe that's our show for this.
Are we doing the reversioned episode? The reversioned version or original?
There's your adaptation decay.
Oh, God.
Betrayed.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure that's adaptation decay, though, is it?
Power fail.
Besides, if we did both versions of that, we'd be at like 10 episodes worth of content potentially for 1 week. Who wants to commit that much time? That's what I thought. Because I think Mickey would even have a problem with doing 5 episodes for 1 week. I guess we could do Green Ranger over 2 months. How about that?
Yeah, it still seems like a lot of effort.
But still, we need to do this Green Ranger stuff some point down the road.
Can I make a request for long in the future?
But, you know, you make a good point for the reversion version. What, with the betrayed and all?
Yeah.
You can make a request, but I'm not making any promises.
Just wondering, could we do Kiva, like, sometime around Halloween?
Oh, that wouldn't be too bad.
That makes some sense.
Any particular part of it in mind?
The spider fangire.
The one that likes to kidnap the women?
Yes.
Speaking of To Catch a Predator. Yeah, I don't really have a problem with that.
Okay, we'll put it on the schedule in however many months.
It's only 5 months from now.
Yeah, we'll remember that.
Sure. Barely remember what I ate for breakfast this morning.
I didn't eat breakfast this morning. I was too busy writhing in agony.
That's always good.
Yeah.
There must be better ways to spend a nickel.
We'll just let Ken finish up over there.
Don't mind me.
Filed also under
oh, we do.
For a nickel. But yeah, well played, Paladin. Obviously. Ken's not quite as desensitized to the your mom joke as we are, I guess.
Not quite yet. Give me a while, eventually.
I know I was in the middle of saying something when that came up, but now I don't... Oh yeah, the writhing in agony. Yeah, it was not a fun night and morning for me.
With tonight you've been doing the show.
Yes, but I can
help it.
I can trace my problem last night and this morning to the frozen pizza I ate for dinner.
The 5-year-old frozen pizza?
I'd rather not say.
I was about to ask, actually.
But yes, I seriously did find a 5-year-old frozen pizza in the freezer.
And you ate it, why?
I really can't even believe that thing had been in there that long.
Wait, but, are you serious?
But, you know, at the bottom of a shelf, it doesn't really stand out anyway.
I guess it is kind of flat.
We probably got older stuff than that in there, too.
Then.
But, yeah, that's probably going to be our show for this week. I think we've done enough damage without Mickey. So, thanks once again to Ken for filling in with us this week.
Welcome.
You're welcome back almost any time.
Not a problem.
So, yeah, next time we're doing the Kabuto movie and, you know, stuff. Maybe we'll actually have some news items to talk about next time, too.
It could happen.
Possible. Well, Japanese businesses are operating again this week, right?
Yeah, they gotta sell something.
Operating as much as they usually operate.
Well, see, I don't even understand how this Golden Week thing can work if most of the businesses close so people can go on vacation. How does the infrastructure still manage to stay going?
I'm sure the vital things still stay up.
It's Japan.
But I mean, like, do grocery stores stay open?
Knowing my grocery store, if it were in Japan, probably.
Well, oh, hiccups.
Well, they just go to the vending machines.
They can live on Candroids for a week.
But no, I mean, you know, in America, a lot of businesses closing down for a week just so people can have a vacation, that would never happen.
They barely close down for a day, if that.
Well, yeah, Walmart closes down one day a year.
If even that.
Christmas, they close down for Christmas Day.
I'm not even sure the one across the street from my store was even closed all of Christmas Day.
But, you know, the whole rest of the time, 24/7, they're open.
Yep.
Well, the one in town here that one time had to close for a day because somebody set it on fire.
Oh, minor inconvenience.
Very.
Yeah.
Minor.
It probably wasn't so minor to the poor lady sitting next to the fitting room.
Oh, God.
Where the fire was actually set.
That's...
And the column of flame shot up to the ceiling next to her.
Yeah.
That probably wasn't such a minor thing for her, but...
Is Walmart
really
going
set
to
fire, or did somebody fart and light a match?
No, somebody actually tried to set the store on fire.
Disgruntled employee?
No, some kid that one of the managers kicked out.
Well, I have seen stores burned down before.
They're just lucky that it wasn't somebody smarter, because all those pool chemicals they keep around, you set the right ones of those on fire, and the entire store is a loss.
The
whole thing doesn't catch on fire.
Sad thing is, I could probably see some of my customers doing that.
What, Paladin?
And you know that how?
Because my manager told me once.
Oh, shit.
Well.
Sure.
No, if you want to talk about questionable knowledge, when I first started working at Walmart, they put me in with the soaps and laundry detergent. And, you know, my first day there, I realized that if I mixed the right things together there, I could make some bad things happen, too.
And why were you mixing the product on the shelf?
Oh, I wasn't. I just knew that I could if I wanted to.
Oh, you looked at their ingredients.
Yes. Yes, all the ingredients for a good time were readily available.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on your definition
of a good
time, but yeah.
Yeah, there are certain combinations of things that our registers won't even let you ring up.
Right. So yeah, that's your the background you never wanted to know about me for this week. So, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
So long.
Farewell. Later.
Tim Curry.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
Say, does anyone here still want or need the Super Robot Chogokin Shinkeno?
Not here, but y'all knew that.
Even if the thing is cheap on AmiAmi, it's probably going to cost a fortune to ship, what with the metal.
It's still only about the size of a Figuard. I don't think shipping will be affected that much by metal.
Yeah, it's, it's a little bit heavier, but it's not tremendously so.
Ken, I just don't understand how you have a stronger southern accent than Fort Max does.
I've lived in Georgia for 26 years.
Fort Max has lived in Texas for 24 years.
Okay. He's a bit more western, though, so.
But he doesn't even sound like that.
What can I say?
He sounds Australian. I don't get it.
Australian?